Welcome to Hebrew Club. My name is Anthony Voltatorne, and I'm filling in for Dr. Seleska today as he will not be able to make it. And we're picking up on 1 Samuel 28. And if you remember the beginning of the chapter, just to give a little background, the beginning of the chapter of 28, you've got, we're told that Samuel is dead, Saul has gotten rid of all the diviners of the land, and the Philistines are now camped at Shunem, and Saul and the Israelites are at Gilboa. And Saul is afraid. He's afraid of the Philistines, and he asks, or inquires of Yahweh about this, and Yahweh doesn't respond, doesn't give any answer to him. So Saul wants to find a necromancer, someone who communicates with the dead, and they find one. They find one at Endor, which is near where they are, near Gilboa. So that's where we pick up at verse 8 of 1 Samuel 28. Vayet ha'pesh Sha'ul vayilbash begadim acharim. That first word is was from ha'pesh, which in the call means to search out or devise. And this is the hithpael form, which has the meaning of disguising oneself. So Saul disguised himself, and labash, and he wore begadim acharim, other garments. So that's how he disguised himself. Vayelech hu u'shene anashim imu, and he went, he and two men with him. Vayabou el ha'isha laila, and they came to the woman by night, Lila. Now, this isn't just another indication of him doing this in secret, going there by night, but this is also, you have to understand that necromantic rituals were only done at night. So that's also a part of what's going on here. He's hoping for these this ritual to commence. So continuing, Vayomer Kasav Mina Li Ba'ov Vaha'alili et Asher Omar Elek. Alright, that second word there, Kasav Mi, it's pointed a little strange. That's because the vowel pointing, they want you to read with the consonants in the margin there. You can see the kare over there in the margin. So we're supposed to read Kasami. And they get rid of the vav. So this is from the word kasam, and it means to demonize or practice divination. This is a feminine singular call imperative. And and he said, divine, please, for me by necromancy, or please divine for me by necromancy. It's not so much that he's begging, or I'm sorry, being polite here. It's more that he's begging. He's desperate, because not only has Yahweh kind of been silent to him, but there aren't supposed to be any necromancers in the land, and he's asking that for something to go on that is illegal, basically. So he's begging, and he says, bring up Ha'ali. This is a Hifil imperative. Bring up for me. Et asher, whoever I say to you. Now, we're going to see this word Allah a lot throughout this text, and especially in the Hifil, you know, this kind of bringing up, especially because in the Hebrew language, you have to remember that that going down, like the word yirad, going down, is bad. That's going down like into Sheol, going down into death. And so in order to have someone come out of that, you're bringing them upward. So you see this verb a lot. Any questions in verse 8 so far? We'll continue. Verse 9. Vatomer ha'ish eliv hineyata yadata et asher asa sha'ul. Okay, so, and the woman said to him, Hineyata, behold you, there's the emphatic independent pronoun, you know what Saul has done. And then she describes what he has done. Asher hikrit et ha ovot va'et ha idoni min ha'eretz. So that Ha-Yakrit, this is, you can recognize this is from Karat, which we usually see as in the call as to cut, like as in a covenant, to cut a covenant. But here it is in the Hifil, it's a Hifil imperative, which in the Hifil, Karat usually means to cut off, as in life, to cut off someone's life or destroy their life. So we've got Hikrit et ha ovok. That is the same root word that we had in verse 8 of necromancy. So that he cut off the necromancers and the spiritists or soothsayers from the land. There's a variant there because actually that's singular, spiritist. But if you go down, they're suggesting that the name was lost, that it should be read with a plural. So either way, it doesn't matter all that much. So the necromancers and the spiritists from the land, Valama'ata mitnakesh benefashi laha mitaini. And literally, to what, which is equivalent of why. So why are you... Metanafesh, which this is from nafash, which usually has the idea of knocking or hitting, striking, something like that. It's used actually in Daniel, Daniel 5, talking about knees knocking together in fear. So this is a hithpile participle, so striking at, literally. So why are you striking at benefashi, my life? To hamitaini, this is a hifil infinitive construct from mot, to kill me or to put me to death. So why are you striking at me, my life, to kill me? Any questions through verse 9? Welcome, everyone. We're in 1 Samuel 28.
Sorry to interrupt you.
It's okay. 1 Samuel 28, and we're about to start verse 10.
Verse 10,
yes. Vayishaba la Shaul, Vayahweh lemor. This is interesting. Nifil of Shava, Saul swore to her by Yahweh, saying, Chai Yahweh im yikrek aon badaver hazeh. So this is really typical of a statement of an oath. We're indicated that it's going to be an oath, and then we have this im there, which is usually translated if, in an oath it's used as a negative statement, kind of shorthand, omitting an implication. So if it was im lo, it would have been an affirmative statement. Here it's a negative, so we would translate it something like, as Yahweh lives, this is kara, verb kara, it will surely not befall you, that is iniquity, in this thing or this matter. So as Yahweh lives, iniquity will surely not befall you in this matter. Now this is particularly interesting and ironic, really. This woman represents Canaanite and non-Israelite religions and religious traditions. And yet Saul is seeking her out to not only bring about a prophet of Yahweh, but with the intention that this prophet is going to have a word from Yahweh through her. And so it's funny that he uses this phrase, Chai Yahweh, as Yahweh lives, when he's seeking help from the dead. And you've got this life and death. There's a little bit of irony here, whether he notices it or not. Any questions up until verse 10? All right, moving on to verse 11. Vatomer ha isha et mi a'alehlak. And the woman said, who, another hifil of Allah, who will I bring up for you? Va'omer et Shemuel ha'alili. And he said, Samuel, bring up for me. Another hifil. He's repeating this hifil of Allah. So literally, probably, or better English would be, bring up Samuel for me. Verse 12. Vatire ha'isha et Shemuel va'tizak bakol gadol. When she saw, that is the woman, when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out, Za'ak. She cried out, Bekol Gadol, in a great voice. Just kind of pausing right here. This is, there's a lot of debate over this sentence about what does this mean that she cried out in a great voice. There's obviously some surprise here that is somewhat unusual. And some people will take that to mean that, well, this means that something unusual is happening than what would happen in regular necromancy. But more people, I think, will just argue that the spirit or whatever that she's called up has said Saul's name, and therefore she's now recognizing who her customer is, who's in secret, hiding and disguising in other garments. And that would make sense with what comes next. So we have Vatomer ha'isha el Shaul imor, lama rimitani va'atam Shaul. So the woman said to Saul, saying, to what or why? Rimitani. This is from rama, peel based verb meaning to mislead or deceive. So why have you deceived me? You are Saul. So she figures it out. And this is what he says in verse 13. Vayomer la hamelech al tiri'i ki ma ra'it. And he said to her, that is the king said to her, do not be afraid, call imperfect, third feminine singular. Do not be afraid, for what do you see? Vatomer ha'isha el Sha'ul. And the woman said to Saul, Elohim ra'iti olim min ha'eretz. So this first word, God, that's the word, you know, we traditionally use both for the true God, even though it's plural, and for false gods. And it's hard to kind of figure out what she's talking about here. It could mean gods, it could mean spirits, it could mean like God-like one, both singular and plural. Elohim in the plural is used throughout Scripture, sometimes as in Isaiah 8, verse 19. Isaiah is mocking the people for consulting necromancers. So it's used of kind of dead ones, spirits. Also in the Psalms and elsewhere, Israel is invited to sacrifice to dead ones using this word Elohim. So it's probably something like spirits. Ra'iti, I saw spirits, Olim, let's call a participle, coming up from the earth. Again, this idea of coming up. Any questions through verse 13? Okay. Moving on, verse 14 here. Vayomer la ma ta'aro. And he said to her, what, ta'ar is form or appearance. So what is his appearance? What does he look like, is what he's saying. Vatomer ish zakein ole. And she said, an old man is coming up. Vahu ote me'il. And he is call participle ote. He is wrapped in a robe. And this is not just any robe. This is kind of a robe that would be used for priests, for ranked officials, maybe something that Samuel would likely to wear. This is what Saul does. Va'yeta Shaul ki Shemuel hu, and Saul knew that it was Samuel. I don't know. He knew this because he heard a description that it was an old man in a robe. All of a sudden, yeah, that's Saul, Samuel. He knows. But he knows, and he says, Vayakod apayam aretzah, vayishtahu. This first verb is from kadad, bow down. It's used of worship, but here it's probably more just kind of paying homage to the individual. So, and he bowed down, apayam, face to the ground, and vayishtahu, this is from Chava, which is a hishtafel, usually, again, worship, but probably here just, and he prostrated himself, or again, gave homage. So, it's not that necessarily that Saul is worshiping Samuel. We're not going to go that far, I don't think. But probably more that he's giving him proper respect for being a prophet of Yahweh. But it is interesting that Saul never bows down or worships Samuel during his life with these two verbs. He's only doing this now that he's dead. So I'm not sure exactly what you want to say about that, but it's worth noting. And any questions up until verse 14? Okay. Verse 15. Vayomer Shemuel el Sha'ul. Lama, hir gadztani la ha'aloth oti. And Samuel said to Saul, why hir gadztani? This is from Ragaz, which is usually like quake or tremble in the call. This is a hifil, so it's like disturb. Why have you disturbed me? The suffix there at the end. Why have you disturbed me? Leha aloth, by bringing me up. It's a hifil infinitive construct. Or by bringing up me, literally, but yeah, by bringing me up. Vayomer Sha'ul, zar li me'od. And Saul said, Zar is distress, so it would literally be like, distress to me greatly. So you have to clean that up. I am greatly distressed, or something like that. Philistim ne le nilchamim bi veloim sar me'alai. Velo anani od gam Bayad Nevaim Gam Bachalomoth. So he says the Philistines are Lacham is to fight, so it's a Nifil. They are engaging me in battle, and God Sar has turned away Me'alai from me, from upon me, from me. Velo Anani, and he does not answer me, still. He still does not answer me. So then we have two gams here, and gam can, is mostly used for also, but in a negative sense, it can be neither and nor. So that's how we're going to have it. So, and he still does not answer me, neither by the hand of prophets, nor by chalototh, dreams. It doesn't answer him by prophets or by dreams. Va ekra e leka le hodieni ma a ese. So we have the verb kara, but you've got this paragogic he on the end. The variant suggests omitting it, but either way. Or therefore, should say therefore. I have called to you, or you. Leho di'eni, this is a hifil infinitive construct from yada. So you could try to translate it something like, so that I would know. So I have called you so that I would know ma e'ese, what I should do. And so this is where the paragraph marker ends. Are there any questions through here?
The ekra e.
Yes.
If the hey was there, would it look like a
Coordinative? I think you would need the comments underneath instead of the sigil. So I think that is particularly what signals it as a paragogic hey, which doesn't really translate. So whether it's there or not, I don't think it makes a big difference. Any other questions? Well, this is where their paragraph marker ends, so this is where we're going to end until next time. We'll pick it up at verse 16, and at this we're going to find out what the conversation is going to be between Saul and this supposed Samuel, and what this message is through this necromancer. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Yeah.